Good evening, everyone. Welcome to tonight's council meeting. My name is Paula Reed, Mayor of Kingborough. It's my pleasure to welcome everyone here this evening on Monday the 3rd of April 2023. So welcome to those people who are in the public gallery, but also, of course, welcome to those people who are watching the live stream at home via YouTube. Being 5:30pm, I now officially declare this meeting open. I wish to advise that council meetings are recorded and made publicly available on our website, and in accordance with council's policy, I'll ask the Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services to confirm that the recording is on.
Confirmed, Mayor.
Thank you. I wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land, pay respects to elders past and present, and acknowledge today's Tasmanian Aboriginal community. Our attendees this evening are myself, Councillor Reet, Deputy Mayor Councillor Gladewright, Councillor Antoli, Councillor Bain, Councillor Cordova, Councillor Dean, Councillor Fox, Councillor Midgley, Councillor Richardson and Councillor Street. From our staff we have the Acting General Manager Mr Reeve, Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services Mr Smee, Director of Environment, Development and Community Services Dr Fox, the Manager of Development Services, Ms Tyler Moore, our Strategic Planner, Mr Stander, and our Media and Communications Advisor, Ms Adams. We have apologies this evening from the General Manager, Mr Arnold. We're on page one now, confirmation of minutes. The motion is that the minutes of the open session of Council meeting held on the 20th of March 2023 be confirmed as a true record. I've got a mover in Councillor Fox, seconder in Councillor Bain. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? The motion is carried unanimously. Workshops held since the last council meeting on the 27th of March 2023. We had a workshop in relation to Southern Waste Solutions and also the draft budget. Declarations of interest. Does any councillor have a declaration of interest? Councillor Bain.
Yes, I'd like to declare a conflict of interest with 15.2, but on advice from the acting GM, I'll be remaining in the room for the discussion.
Thank you very much. Any other conflicts? No. Thank you very much. Transfer agenda items. Is there any item on the agenda that a councillor would like to move from open into closed or closed into open session? No. Thank you. Questions without notice from the public. Does any member of the public here this evening wish to ask a question? Thank you, Mr Biggins. If you could just state your name and suburb for the record before you ask your question, please.
Charles Biggins, Leslie Vale. I have four questions. I noted with interest at the last council meeting approval for a new development in the heart of Kingborough Park was passed. The multi-use complex was being praised for the much-needed employment opportunities for office and retail workers living in the Kingborough area and potential reduction in the southern outlet traffic congestion. My question is, does facilitating employment opportunities within Kingborough and reducing traffic on the southern outlet rate high with the council's aims and objectives?
Ms Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, I don't have a specific comment about reduction of traffic on the southern outlet into the city, but I can comment about increasing of job opportunities within the municipality. It is a planning principle and a principle of good planning under the strategic plan that we have good planning principles, and encouraging businesses to operate within our municipality is great for other businesses that lean on it, opportunities for employment, services to be provided to our community, and certainly they all build together to make a better community. We would like to encourage further commercial development within our municipality.
Thank you. The Southern Tasmanian Industrial Land Strategy 2013 identified future industrial land to meet Kingborough's need for the next 30 years. The potential areas identified in the report for rezoning were 37 hectares at Leslie Vale and another 16 hectares at Huntingfield Maddox Road. Can you please detail what actions have been taken in the Kingborough municipality in the 10 years since the Industrial Land Strategy 2013 to secure industrial land for this municipality for the next 30 years?
Thank you. I'll ask Mr Stander if he could address that for us, please.
Through Mayor, yeah, it's difficult to answer in terms of what's happened in the last 10 years, but as part of our work that we're doing as part of the Greater Hobart strategy and the three-year plan, one of the actions in that plan is to identify additional industrial land and employment land, so it's an action within that document. I guess the approach that council took was not necessarily just to look at industrial opportunities in Kimberley, but also to identify land for that purpose in the greater context of the Greater Hobart area.
Thank you. Mr. Biggins.
Thank you. Jamala Road, Margate, was previously zoned industrial and rezoned residential around 2015 with the transition to the Kingborough Interim Planning Scheme. This happened at a time when an existing business, Ace Diesel, was looking to expand into an adjacent warehouse, but because of the changes was forced to apply for rezoning of the warehouse back to residential, a process that turned out to be costly and difficult, that the expansion never happened and the business partnership subsequently folded. Since 2013, has the total area of land zoned for industry in Kingborough reduced or expanded?
Mr. Stander.
I'll try and answer that question. I don't have any figures in front of me to say whether it's reduced or not, but I can certainly say that it definitely did not increase in that time. So council haven't rezoned any additional industrial land that I'm aware of. But that is similar to the previous question. It's something that we've identified through the work that we've done through the Greater Hobart Plan, that there is a need for industrial land and we need to undertake those studies. And the studies won't necessarily just look at the need for industrial land in Kimberley. It is also a question about where do we provide that land within Kimberley or somewhere else in the Greater Hobart area.
Could you take that on notice then regarding whether since 2013, Kingborough's industrial land has either...
Yep, we'll take that on notice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My final question. So if a young Kingston High School leaver wants to take up a trade in one of the many occupations classified as light industry, where are they going to get an apprenticeship? Has the lack of industrial zoning in this municipality condemned young people to a long commute via the Southern Outlet and Brooker Highway to Glenorchy and Brighton municipalities where the majority of land zoned for industry is located? How can Kingborough Council claim to be facilitating local employment opportunities when no additional industrial land was nominated in the current local provision schedule?
Mr. Stander.
Through you, Mayor. Look, I think in terms of the LPS, the intent was not necessarily to look at industrial land. If the intent was to look at additional industrial land, it should have been supported by a study of some sort. We don't have that study, so essentially what we've identified, once again, similar to the previous questions, is we understand there's a need for that and therefore we need to undertake that study. The Kimberley Land Use Strategy of 2019, in that document, it was identified as a project for council, but subsequently we've also started working on the Greater Hobart Plan where we've carried that action over through to that part of it. I guess it's also worth to note that we also need to have regard to the Southern Tasmania Regional Land Use Strategy. So it is not just merely a case of council identifying industrial land. It will need to meet the requirements of that land use strategy. So that's why we thought it would be appropriate to include that as part of that Greater Hobart work, but also to work with the State Planning Office to identify areas that would be appropriate for industrial development.
Thank you. The Southern Regional Land Use Strategy does refer to the Southern Tasmanian Industrial Land Strategy. My question remains, Kingborough is a long way from Brighton. Greater Hobart sounds all very nice, but we have this massive bottleneck and it's not going to go away.
Thank you, Mr. Biggins. Is there another question coming?
I'd really like some... This to be taken on board. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other further questions from the public? If not, we will move along to page 2, questions on notice from the public. And as we always say, if you wish to submit a question on notice, you should send it to kc@kingborough.tas.gov.au. We had a number this time. There was the first one in relation to biodiversity overlay from Mr. Biggins with a response from Ms. Tyler Moore. Second one in relation to a tender for the Kingston Wetlands from Mr. David Grace and a response from Mr. Smee. Number 3 in relation to Kingston Main Street upgrade from Mr. Grace and a response from Mr. Smee. Fourth one was in relation to the tender for Snug Tiers Road construction from Mr. Grace and a response from Mr. Reeve. Fifth one, enforcement of the Building Act from Professor Rowan with an officer's response from Ms. Tyler Moore. And the sixth one from Professor Rowan in relation to climate change and an officer's response from Ms. Quinn, which takes us to questions without notice from councillors. Does any councillor wish to ask a question without notice? Councillor Gladewright, and then Councillor Cordova, and then Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. On the 10th of March, our Mayor, Councillor Paula Reet, was inducted onto the Tasmanian Honour Roll of Women. And my question is, may I congratulate you on behalf of all the elected members?
Thank you. That was very sneaky. You did not tell me you were going to ask that question, but thank you very much. I will accept that. Congratulations. Thank you. How embarrassing. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor, and congratulations. That's really good news. My question relates to the Mayor's diary, 3rd of March, turning our attention to the emergency management review. And my question is, firstly, can we just have a bit more information about the emergency management review and subsequently, anything corresponding to climate-related risks specifically, I think we'd be interested in as well. Thank you.
So this is a review that has been jointly done between Huon Valley Council and ourselves. It's being done by Alicia Lees, who has run workshops with Council. And as part of that, both myself and the Substantive General Manager, Mr. Arnold, were interviewed in a half-hour interview as stakeholders involved to just get our feedback on how we viewed our council as how we operate within the emergency management space. And I believe the timeframes for that review was about mid-year that it would be completed, and that the idea of it was to just see if there were some learnings from it, any identified gaps and where we could improve. The initial discussion that I had in relation to this sounded like, as we all saw when we had the presentation at our workshop a few weeks ago, that what we're actually doing in this space is quite significant, and that as a council, you know, given we're one of the few ones that have staff actually working specifically on both emergency management and recovery, that we're well ahead of some of the other councils, but it always pays to see where we're at. So I'm sure that'll be made available when it's to councillors when it's completed. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. Could council update us as to where we are at in the review of the LCZ properties and how many currently have been rezoned out of LCZ?
Ms. Tyler Moore. Oh, no, Mr. Stander. Oh, they're fighting over the question now. Mr. Stander.
Thank you, through Mayor. I'll start off by saying it's a slow process. I get that question from a lot of members of the public. Since the LCZ information sessions, I've been meeting with people, trying to give people a bit of an overview of the LCZ, so that's taking up most of my time. I guess in terms of numbers, it's something that I will have to bring back to the chambers, so maybe a question on notice. But I do think it's most probably appropriate to also just mention that even if council, as in council staff, suggests some changes to landscape conservation zone, it's ultimately the Tasmanian Planning Commission that will make those decisions. So it potentially could be one or two things. It could be that the commission agree with what council suggests, or it could be that they most probably want us to do some additional changes. So if we provide numbers, maybe just for future reference, it is really the numbers that we suggest, but there could be additional changes that the commission may require, or you know, some of those they don't agree with.
Thank you. Councillor Ntali.
Yes, just a quick follow-up. In your guesstimate, how far through the process do you think you are?
Mr. Stander.
Apologies, that sigh was kind of on purpose. Look, I would have liked to sit here today and tell you that we're getting to the end of it. It's not. I think the last time that question was asked in the chambers, we talked about that we've identified around 300 properties that we want to have a look at. At that point in time, it was quite obvious those 300 properties that we want to have a look at. We are working slowly through areas, so we're not keeping numbers as we go through it. I guess the process that we follow at the moment is to have a look at specific localities where we can see where people have a concern, but also where we would like to have a relook at landscape conservation zone. So to answer your question, I think we're still in early parts of those changes, and I most probably would be reluctant actually at this point in time to provide those numbers, but I guess once we've submitted our response back to the Commission, would most probably be a more appropriate time to ask that question.
Okay, thank you. And given that you're waiting on the TPC, you're still able to give us some sort of an estimate by the next Council? Thank you. Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you. Further questions? Councillor Bain, and then Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a couple of questions. The first one is, I think it was around August 2022, the previous council passed a notice of motion to write to State Growth requesting they consider making all of Riddle Road 50 kilometres an hour. Just wondering if we've had any updates on that request.
Mr. Reeve.
Yes, through you, Mayor, yes, we have heard back from State Growth, so they are amenable to that one. There's another one they're considering at Woodbridge, and at this stage we have yet to get a full response. They have looked at it further, but we're yet to get a full resolution on that one yet.
Thank you. Councillor Bain.
Can I ask a follow-up question on what the process is from here, once State Growth have agreed to?
Sure. Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, so they've agreed to with the consideration of making the entire road 50k. So it's a matter of actually just getting the signage in there and actually letting people know there's been a change in the speed limits in those areas, which will happen imminently.
Hmm. I actually didn't hear what road it was. What?
Oh, sorry, Redwood Road.
Redwood Road. Oh, great. Yeah. Of course. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
A second question is, a few residents have made mention that earthworks have commenced the State Government's Huntingfield subdivision site. Just wondering if there's any further information about the Channel Higher roundabout and the slip lane that's able to be shared. And also, is it Council's expectation that the roundabout and slip lane will be completed prior to that first stage being opened?
Funny you should mention this, because Mr. Reeve and I were driving past only today and I said, look at those things. I wonder if they're constructing the road, but I don't believe they are. Mr. Reeve, do you want to continue the conversation we had in the car earlier?
Through you, Mayor. No, not at this stage here. So the works are really more tied up with Huntingfield housing. So the roundabout and the slip lane are separate. So that's yet to be finalised.
And the last time I inquired of the State Government, they hadn't indicated when it would proceed. I did ask at a Greater Hobart Mayor's Forum when we had Department of State Growth representatives there, and they indicated there had been some delays. They are still holding the line that it was actually this council that's caused the delays because of the conditions we put on the permit, but we weren't able to get any time frame.
Thank you.
Yeah. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. A question regarding the KWS report and specifically the notes regarding the financial report, stating that for November there was a loss and then it was 53k worse than budget, and there was reasons as to why, operations, loss of income from the shop, the public waste bin contract, and then there was also noting the cost of the disposal of green waste and the transport levy and things like that. I'm just wondering at all what the future... Normally seems to be tracking a lot better when I've been on council, the KWS budget, and I haven't sort of seen any figures like this before. I'm just wondering what the future prediction looks like and if we have any concerns or anything to note. Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. So the main issue is with the green waste. So what's happening there is we're probably a little bit light on in terms of what our current fees in are for what we're actually getting in. And that's actually sort of causing us a bit of a negative on the financial. It's not one that can't be rectified and would be intended to be rectified when we put up the new fees and charges for next year to allow for that, to make sure that we're getting cost recovery on that item. Some of the other issues, such as the transport index there, we're expecting that to stabilise a little bit. There was quite a large hit in that area there. It affected not only KWS but council as well. But predictions are that that will stabilise in the next financial year.
Thank you. And another question, Mayor, regarding the draft budget that's gone out for consultation. I'm wondering if we could perhaps have an understanding of what that consultation looks like and if the Kingborough Community Forum members will be also emailed and anything else that you or staff would like to add about that.
Dr. Fox, would you like to take us through the process? Thank you.
Sure. Through you, Mayor. And my first budget consultation with this organisation, so it'll be exciting and new for me too. We have, as you know, put information up on the website, including a survey, and we have posted that through Facebook. We'll be doing the usual media releases and media announcements through traditional and digital media. We are looking to email out to the Kingborough Community Forum and let them know as well what's happening, and certainly would like to talk through with forum members those priorities that they had put forward to make sure that they're aware of how they fit into that budget process.
Thank you. Any further questions without notice? Councillor Dean.
I've just got a couple of questions, but I think they should be asked in closed session as they relate to ongoing matters.
Thank you. Make a note of that. We turn now... Councillor Street.
That's okay. I am broadly aware of what Councillor Dean's questions will be for closed session and may have a couple of follow-up questions depending on the
answers. Thank you. Okay. All right. I've noted that, Councillor Dean and Councillor Street in closed session. Okay. Any further questions in open session? If not, we will move on. We are at page 6, questions on notice from councillors. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no questions on notice from councillors that had been received. Petitions still being actioned, there are no petitions still being actioned, and at the time the agenda was compiled, we had not received any further petitions. Which takes us to page 7, officers' reports to council, decision to correspond with owners and occupiers of land within Kingborough about the public exhibition process for the move from the Kingborough Interim Planning Scheme 2015 to the Tasmanian Planning Scheme, with a recommendation on page 12. I'm looking for a mover, a seconder. I will take the recommended motion or any alternative motions. I've got a mover in Councillor Midgley.
I've got an alternative motion.
For an alternative motion. Seconded Councillor Antoli. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you. My alternative motion has been sent to staff and it is now up on the screen. Thank you. So I'll speak to that alternative motion and I've put that alternative motion forward because there has been a lot of discussion about this, not only prior to this council on emails but also leading up to this and from many emails from the public. But I guess I really will go through because there's not... that much of a change, just noting C, so I will go through a discussion first. So as we all know, the purpose of the report is to seek a council decision as to whether to correspond directly with landowners and occupiers within the Kingborough, notifying them of the statutory exhibition period of the draft LPS as part of the introduction of the Tasmanian Planning Scheme. So there has been a lot of interest in the community in regards to how council is consulting with the community. There has been discussion of whether we write letters to all landowners, and that's stated in the report, and I'll talk about that a bit more. So over the recent months, members of the public and councillors have questioned whether there will be correspondence of landowners and occupiers during the exhibition period. And prior to those discussions taking place, it's been committed that there would be additional steps taken rather than this further on to the statutory requirements, which are outlined in the report in 3.1, which you can see the time frame, the newspaper, the documents that will be on display, page possibly 8 of your agenda, and the exhibition documents are available for downloading. So council staff in 4.2 have committed to a lot more than that. We've hosted drop-in sessions, various locations. There'll be advertising in all the local Kingborough Chronicle, Bruni News websites and social media. The web pages will be more information in regards to what is actually just basically required, hosting of local drop-in sessions as well throughout the municipality. They're not determined as to where they'll be, and then staff are available for one-on-one consultations, which we have heard tonight from Mr. Stan, from staff, that staff already are seeking inquiries, they've had lots of contact, they're providing a lot of time in regards to the public inquiry in regard to this, so advice will be provided by staff throughout the whole process. They'll be able to meet one-on-one, looking at their zoning, their overlays, and then advise people as well as it states about how to make representations. And then so if we look at the 4.3, it discusses that the correspondence, I guess the suggested correspondence to all landowners and the communication, I guess, in regards to this has consideration, there's factors and risks as well. So it's about who the correspondence is addressed to, the timing of the correspondence, the fact that what the content of the correspondence and the amount of information then that staff have to have regarding this, so they will need to not only require the zoning, but it will be the different overlays. There's also finance discussions in this in regards to a quote for a three-page letter, which was approximate cost of $37,000. It's not included in the council budget. And also to note that there are approximately 19,000 rateable properties with around a third requiring more than one notice because the owner is not the occupier or if there are multiple owners. There's also, if we are then to go say forward with a letter to all the ratepayers, other than what I'm proposing here in C, to include notification and June-July rates notice, then there is also the public expectations. Basically, they'll vary widely. They're all stated in 7.2, all the risks. The data error, so ensuring that all the data that staff are able to extract is actually correct for that property. We know that sometimes that is perfect, sometimes it's not, so there can be errors in actually that communication, which could cause actually more risk for council as well. And then just not only the impact on resourcing, so not only are the letters going to, all the data extraction to the letters have to be sent, but then there's also the staff then being available for those one-on-one contacts responding to all of those letters that are sent. So I'm proposing instead to amend it for C, that we include a notification in June-July council rates notice that the public exhibition of LPS will occur in the near future. So we have talked about including something in the rate notice, but we're not sure if that rate notice, I'm quite sure, please correct me if I'm wrong, it's the June rate notice that perhaps we're looking at. We're not sure that the LPS will be, the zoning will be absolute by then. So I guess this provides some sort of direction that, and notification to all ratepayers that in the near future, it'll provide direction as to where they will see the notification of its commencement and where they can access more information about it. So it's not giving the specific details, it's not going into the data analysis and things like that, but it will be providing direction to ratepayers and information and informing that this will be coming and for them to look out for in all the various channels and things like that. And noting, if they did have a question, that they can call council staff, and I'm sure council staff would be able to advise them further in regards to sort of where to look. So I believe that this...
Would you like an extension of time, Councillor Midgley?
Mayor, can I raise a point of order, please?
Yes, I'll have to take the point of order.
I think by error you've actually included me as having seconded this. I didn't intend to second it because I thought you were looking around the room for other individuals that wanted to actually amend.
Sorry, I saw your hand go up.
And
so I thought
I didn't want to be rude and just sort of dive in. So I'm sure someone else is happy to second Amanda's amendment. But
My apologies.
Thank you for allowing me to clarify.
So if we could just amend that the seconder was Councillor Cordova. My apologies for that. Councillor Cordova, are you moving that Councillor Midgley be provided with an additional 3 minutes? Could I have all those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
No.
Show of hands is required. All those in favour? Councillors Antoli, Fox, Cordova, Dean, Bain. You have to vote, Councillor Midgley. Midgley. Richard, you want to abstain? You don't want the extra time?
I haven't read anything.
Midgley, Richardson, Street and Reet, and those against. Councillor Gladewright.
We've got a seconder as well for the extra time.
Oh, sorry, did I not get a seconder for the extra time? I thought I did.
Yes. Sorry, my apologies.
Thank you. So the motion is carried. You have an additional 3 minutes, Councillor Midgley.
Thank you.
Use it wisely.
I've lost my train of thought now. So the reason why, and I'm aware there was going to be another amendment alternative motion as well, but I believe that this motion carries the wishes of hearing both sides of the story. So it's different from the original motion that is in the report provided by officers. This includes another above and beyond that we are going to communicate to all ratepayers that there will be public exhibition of the LPS, that it will occur in the near future. Yes, it does sound a bit vague that there isn't a date, but it still does inform people that something is going to happen in the future, and it does save money and it does save staff resources. I am all for good communication, good engagement, good governance on this, but I feel like this is a bit of a middle ground and it's a positive way forward and it's above and beyond what so many other councils have done. We are already going above and beyond what other councils have done. And this is a bit of a compromise. But again, I'm open to hearing what other people have to say, and I'm just wondering as well, Mayor, perhaps if I could ask a question of staff in regards to their thoughts on this, adding this amendment as well, please.
Sure. Ms Tyler Moore.
Through you, Mayor, I've considered the alternate motion. I think now that we're closer to the June-July rates notices, it's making it a bit easier. Obviously, we've been having this discussion all year, even late last year, and saying about the concerns about the timing. Given that we're now in April, we're still providing information back to the LPS, to the TPC about the LPS, and the fact that when they give us notification, it's a three-week period from when they give notice when you do it. So if you sort of count backwards from June, because you want to ask the question, will we get direction before the rates notice goes, which wouldn't work because then there's no point doing a rates notice one. Well, I guess you could put it in there as well. But working back, you've just used up June, they've still got to consider, they still want to do post-lodgement hearings. We haven't done anything about the specific area plans or the overlay codes. That's going to be at least another month. We still haven't submitted back. So I think it's definitely safe to say that the rates notice will come out before the before we get formal direction to do the public exhibition, so that's safe. I think the notion of giving them a letter that says, keep your eyes open, something's about to happen in the next, and I think it would be safe to say in the next 3 to 6 months, so we're not saying never, it's sort of like an endless time, that would be helpful for them to look at it, and so they know where to look, so they're aware of it. Certainly the public would be widely aware of it anyway. We know that from all the correspondence we get from the residents, and thank you for their contributions to council agendas and meetings and obviously all the meetings we've had. And the reason it's so well known is because it's across the whole state. It's not just a Kingborough initiative. The whole state knows it. It's in the media often, regularly. So a lot of people know, so I think it is a safe approach. There are risks associated with just doing it the rates notice, which are outlined in the report, such as occupiers won't be notified. The reason that that is a consideration is that you may run a business on a property. We're not just talking like a Channel Court type business. You might have a business on an industrial land or rural type land and those sort of areas, and so that may affect their business if they want to expand, even though they're just a lessee. And there are some people that don't receive rates notices, or they go to the estate agent, but that's the estate agent's responsibility to pass that on to their client. So I think the comments made about that it's a reasonable middle ground is are certainly fair comments.
Thank you, Ms. Tullamore. Councillor Midgley.
That's all, thank you.
Thank you. And I don't know which of you had your lights on first. I'm going to go Deputy Mayor Gladewright and then Councillor Antoli.
Thank you. I won't be supporting this amendment, sorry. I think a generic letter like that is a complete waste of everybody's time. I think that what the community are after is specific information about their properties and the proposed zoning. So I'm aware of other amendments that are being floated, so I'll be not supporting this one and looking forward to debating the next one.
Councillor Antoli.
I won't be supporting it as well. I don't feel it goes far enough. I think if there was a D, if Councillor Midgley was happy to go with D, which said failing option C, letting affected ratepayers who will undergo a zone change know that they will be captured in that, I might be able to support that. If Councillor Midgley is happy with that, maybe we can wordsmith that, but if you can understand the concept. So it's sort of like levels of, shall we say, direct mail. I think A and B and C are fine. I think C is a bit generic, but if we could go to D, I'd be able to maybe consider it. D being something like failing the July rates notice, direct mail to those affected by zoning changes to let them know that they will be affected too, and here's the process to stay on top of the details and to find out more. Something like that.
Can I ask a question of clarification for what you're suggesting, just so that everybody's clear? Are you suggesting that it be specifically, though, personalised to say you're currently in Zone X and you're going to go to Zone Y, or are you just saying that it be a personally addressed letter to say these are the changes coming up, you need, here's where to go and look at the information? I just wasn't clear.
Yeah, that's a great question and a good clarification. I respect the officer's report in section 7.2.2 that says parsing these different data sets to make it very specific would be hard and a stress on them. I'm not a GIS expert. I thought it wouldn't be that hard, but I have to just accept the validity of the report. And having a letter to say, "Dear Mr. Antoli, you are going to undergo a zoning change. Please stay tuned via this method to know what that is so that they can find out." I still don't know what happens when they do find out. Maybe you can be told. I probably would be willing to consider that. Yep.
Okay. Councillor Midgley, would you be open to a set of words around that as proposed by Councillor Antoli? So both yourself and Councillor Cordova as the mover and seconder of the motion. Or do you want a few minutes? I'm happy to sort of for us to pause for a couple of minutes to try and get some words. I just think this might be the opportunity to work through this that might satisfy everyone. If we take a 5-minute adjournment and see if we can... So Councillor Antoli can develop those words and you can see them, and then we put them up on the screen and have a discussion about them. All right, we're going to adjourn for 5 minutes. We'll be... to those watching along at home, my apologies. We're just going to try and make this process go smoothly, so we'll just pause until 6.15, just before 6.15, to see if we can't get these words. Thank you. Everyone who is watching along at home, thank you, Councillor Street and Councillor Cordova. Thank you, we're back on. Thank you for your patience, particularly to our members who are here in the public gallery. We just wanted to have that quick break to see if we could formulate some words. Councillor Antoli, would you like to talk to D, which is up on the screen in red, which is the amendment to the motion that you are proposing? We need to know then, after you've made your contribution on that, I need to know from Councillor Midgley and Councillor Cordova as the mover and seconder if those words are acceptable, because that will determine how we move forward from here.
Thank you, Mayor.
Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm proposing D to, I believe, satisfy the major concerns in the community, but also balance it against the officer's report and also my own research I've done separately, that getting very specific in telling people what zone they are at now and what zone they are moving to places burdens on our council staff and some legal ramifications that aren't acceptable to me. So I would like to propose that D be the amendment that we vote on. If the option outlined in C above is not available at the time of the Tasmanian Planning Commission TPC announcement, then direct mail will be sent to all owners who will undergo a zoning change. While this will be work for the staff, I believe it'll be a far cheaper option for council to go down that road rather than a separate post-rates mass mail-out, which is substantial.
Thank you very much. Now, Councillors Midgley and Cordova.
Questions.
Councillor Cordova, you've got a question?
Yes, please. My question is, if D were to be included, roughly, how many letters is that? Is it 300 or is it 800?
Ms Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, my understanding reading of that is that owners undergo a zoning change, that the whole planning scheme is changing, so every ratepayer would have to be notified.
So if I'm understanding correctly, that means that some 19,000 houses or something would need a letter.
Ms.
If
Tullamore.
D passes.
Through you, Mayor, the proposal is to, and it probably isn't articulated. Oh, sorry. So C is piggybacking on the rates notice.
Yes.
D is a postal out to everyone. So, yes, it's the same cost as what is provided in the report, the $37,000, unless there was any further amendments to who was receiving it.
So can I ask on that, please, ma'am? I'm asking a question.
So I'll come back to you in a moment. Councillor Cordova has the floor at the moment.
Can I move that we move to discussion? Because just so you know, if it's $37,000,
okay.
Then I won't be supporting it.
Okay, so
I've
got a procedural motion that we move to discuss. All those in favour?
Yes, aye.
Against? Okay, motion is carried. We're now discussing. That'll be easier. Councillor Cordova, you got another question or contribution?
I think my question is answered, which is that if we accept D as part of the non-original motion, but the amended motion that we're looking at, if we accept D, then it will cost $37,000 and have all of the same implications as exist under 7.22 with the data error. That's my question is, are we still liable for 7.22 or is that no longer relevant?
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, I think that D is not clear in what it's asking. Is it saying specifically you're going from council from zone X to zone Y? It isn't saying that. If it's just a generic letter that says, please be aware there's going to be a change, it's coming soon, then you wouldn't have all the risks that are written in the report. The risks in the report mainly are about if you're saying you're going from this zone to another zone and also listing the overlays, because it's important to notify people of overlay controls, not just zones.
Thank you, Ms. Tullamore. You got another question, Councillor Cordova? Okay, so Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Tash. So I am not saying that we get specific about the zone they are moving from or to, but that we would send a separate letter to owners who are going to have a zone change, but not specifying from what to what, which will then alert them to proactively reach out via the method that we should explain in the letter to find out exactly what the change is. It's just that so that no one is caught unawares, because it has huge long-term ramifications for their family and the plans they have for their own land. That's all. So not being specific, but definitely targeting those who will be affected by a change, which I would assume is a subset of the total number of ratepayers.
Through you, Mayor.
Yep, Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, if you choose to, just so I can be clear,
yep.
It's just to the owners, not to the occupiers? That would reduce your numbers?
Just to the owners. I don't believe occupiers need to know that the house that they're renting from is going to be changed. I don't believe that's the critical issue. It's the owners being told their land rights needing to be assured.
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor. As I mentioned earlier, the occupiers are relevant when you have a business. So, yes, I agree. A general renter, maybe not, or they may have a general interest as a resident. They are still a resident of our community. They may have an interest, so we shouldn't just assume that we know that they care or don't care or interested or not. It was more about the businesses. If you have an abattoir and you want to extend that abattoir, then are you going to be able to do it? If you have a wrecking company and so forth, they're the sorts of things. That's why we think that the occupiers are important. The council has resolved to just do the owners. That's the choice of the councils. They can do that. So that would reduce some of them. It wouldn't just come down to the single number of rateable properties, because we still have lots of multiple owners of lots of properties, so we would need to notify them, both of them. All of them.
Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. I think that the weight of the responsibility is on the property owner, and if he has a tenant or she has a tenant, and they can work out whether or not it will affect the tenant. That's between the landlord and the tenant, and I just think that will dramatically reduce the exposure but satisfy the community.
And just before I go to Councillor Dean, just following on Councillor Antoli's point, is there an opportunity perhaps then for, if we go with D, for that mail out to say, if you are receiving this as the owner of the land but you are not the occupier, we suggest that you let the occupiers know of this information, because surely putting the onus on them would be a reasonable thing to do. Ms. Tullamore.
Yes, I would agree with that comment.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Dean.
Yeah, just so to clarify, there's this case study, someone who's residential right now, which covers a lot of us, and we're staying residential, the owner of that property will not receive a if D comes to fruition.
No, that's not correct. Under the proposal for D, everyone will get a letter.
It actually says only those who will undergo a zoning change.
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, it's important to understand that if you go from a zoning with the same name, so as an example, general residential, the rules are changing in there. The state government's changed the rules. So whilst it may be, and I've got to find a better word than pro-development, but it's a bit more lenient in the rules. That might suit some, but it may not suit others, because the neighbour can then build bigger and closer and things like that possibly. It's also important to understand that you might be residential, but you might be backing on to Peter-Murrell Reserve, and if we're going to, or another reserve or a different type of zone, and there's going to be changes to that, that's development right on your boundary as well. So if you were to just pull out particular zones, you run a real risk that they're not aware of what's occurring, or if in their street, at the end of the street, it's going to be rezoned to a different zone that allows changes of use class, then it might significantly impact on traffic and impacts on amenity of that as a result of that. So it would I wouldn't advise plucking out some of the zones and not the others. The other risk with that is if we get complaint, well, you sent it to these people and not to me, that's unjust, then we might be in a situation where we're going to have to extend the advertising and re-advertise again,
which is not what we want to do. So I wonder if there needs to be a change of the words to D to make clear that we want to say that it be sent to all property owners in Kingborough.
I have no problem with letting property owners all know. I'm trying to reduce the cost, the burden on council. And the fact is that if you live in a house and you own a house that's really not undergoing a zone change at all, you will not die if you don't get a direct mail about it, but you will be upset if it is changing and you don't get something. So I'm just trying to reduce the burden and satisfy.
I totally agree with you, but I think we have to balance up the what if we miss somebody, as opposed to let's just email everyone in the community, direct mail everybody in the community and let them know, and they can go and find the information if they want to. I'd just be concerned if we, you know, for the reasons that Ms. Tullamore has just indicated, if somebody is not aware of what may occur next door to them, etc., etc., in the interests of full communication and transparency with the community, let's
wear that extra cost and do all of them is
I have no problems with wearing the extra cost and do all of them. I, like I said, I'm trying to reduce the burden, because the council officer's report as it stands, none of this would be happening. They would have to find out serendipitously via social media, media. So this to me is far more consultative, even with that, shall we say, negative component. But I am more than happy to support a budgetary a motion that would mean a budgetary increase to let everyone know, given that consultation is king right now when it comes to this issue.
Yep, thank you. I've got Councillor Dean and then Councillor Bain.
I think it's probably, this whole discussion is a fairly moot point from what we heard at the very beginning of this discussion, that it is very unlikely that the advertisement will take place before then. So I guess D is a very small chance of happening, but it is an appropriate safeguard mechanism for the reasons Councillor Antelli has pointed out. So I'm very comfortable in this aspect taking some of a risk, but I'm basing it again off staff recommendation that they're very unlikely for it to occur, so that we will very almost certainly go with C, in which we will not be incurring an extra $37,000. But in the case that it is advertised before then, I'm very comfortable with D taking place.
Thank you. Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Mayor. I've got a question about if a ratepayer is not happy with going from general res in one scheme, general res in another scheme, what sort of representation would they put in and what would they hope to achieve, I guess?
Ms Tollemore.
Through you, Mayor, they would need to put a submission in stating why they think the new zone is not suitable for them. Their driver, I can't guess what the person's driver is. They'd need to consider the provisions of the guidelines of the state government that would suggest about like-for-like zoning or similar zoning and its appropriateness or whether it should change. But there's nothing to stop people put representations in about what they wish to. We see that all the time with DA applications. We see that with planning scheme amendments. It may not hold a lot of weight or background, but there's a general understanding of what they're saying, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to get what they've asked for.
Can I ask a follow-up question? Is it fair to say that the majority of representations we've seen from other councils that have gone through this is about going from one zone to another zone?
Ms Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, I haven't asked for a summary and I haven't read the summaries of those that have been to public exhibition to make comment.
Okay.
Councillor Bain. I feel like I can see the wheels moving for another question there.
No, that's not really a question, but it's probably more of an observation that the research that I've done and looked, the majority of representations, or nearly all the representation, was someone moved from one zone to another. So I do sort of agree that that is the more important is probably the wrong word, but they're both important. But I would put a zone change higher than going from the same zone in one scheme to the same zone in another scheme, because I think that they've potentially got more to lose and they've got greater grounds potentially to put in representation.
I don't disagree with you, Councillor Bain, but I keep coming back to what Ms Tollemore said, and that is, you know, if you might be in general residential and stay in general residential, but you've got different parameters around that general residential now, and you could end up next to you could then see, oh, the house next door all of a sudden might be able to redevelop and move closer to your boundary or have a different, you know, go slightly higher or whatever the change, hypothetically, whatever those changes are. So I would have thought if we're going to do this, we want to have a red hot go at making sure we're telling everybody. But Ms Tollemore.
Through you, Mayor, it's also important, you might stay in the same zone but you might have a different overlay code that affects your property. You might have a specific area plan that applies. You might have the new changes to the mapping, such as the hazards, so the landslide or the coastal hazard. So it's not just about zone change. And I think it's really important that the public understands that it's not just about the zones, because there's all these other parts which sometimes can have more impact on you than the actual zone change. If we were to start extracting who does or doesn't and then try and pull that out of the data set, I suspect we're going to run into the same issues we've already spoken about the errors in data. It would be a safer option to send it to all people. I appreciate the efforts of trying to reduce the costs and understand why there's that objective. I think if you take out the occupiers and still have the others, you'd probably be coming down, you know, closer to 30,000 or the high 20s, so it's a bit of a cost saving. It's still a very large cost. That's if it was separate. But insofar as the rates notice, you're running a risk of dropping out those codes and code and overlays, which has the same slither problem on the cadastre.
Thank you. Councillor Bowden, anything else?
Just another further question. And does this account for notifying via email for people who get their notices via email?
Ms Tullamore.
Through you, anyone that receives an email to rate notice will have this piggybacked on their email.
And that's accounted for in the cost estimate?
Through you, Mayor. No, because the cost estimate that was done for the report was a separate letter. It wasn't the rates letter. So it should be hopefully the same. We may need to just double-check that they're not going to ask to charge more because of... Well, they shouldn't, really, if there's additional pages, because the cost of postage is the same, but preparing the letters might slightly go up. But the cost really is in those postage stamps that go on all the letters.
One last question. Have we got any idea how many ratepayers receive their notice via email, the percentage?
Yeah, it's not as many as we'd like.
Through you, Mayor, I have asked the Rates Department this, and they did give me a number which I've forgotten, but I do believe it was fairly low, maybe in less than a quarter.
It's very traditional here in Kingborough.
25% is still a good saving, though. So.
Yep. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to make the point that as I'm trying to follow along this conversation, it appears to me, like reading the room, that there's some appetite to spend some money, and I'm just trying to get a sense of what is a reasonable amount of money to spend, because obviously I think we know that we're not just putting the burden on council, we're putting the burden on the ratepayers, right? So $37,000, obviously if we get that down $2,000 or $5,000 or $6,000, but then we run the risk of disenfranchising or alienating or not informing to the greatest extent possible. So we're trying to weigh all this up, but I just want to make the point, if my reading of the conclusion 8.1 is correct, this is an unbudgeted expenditure so far. So that will mean it will come at the expense of, you know, if we wanted a dog management strategy or if we wanted to spend money on recreational water quality testing or all of those things, we're actually going to have to take money away from next year's budget for this because this is not even in the draft budget that's gone to consultation. Is that a correct statement?
Well, it was my understanding from not the acting general manager, the substantive general manager, that the money could be found, but I don't know whether the acting general manager would like to add to that.
Through you, Mayor. Generally, in these situations there where council makes a decision, and there has been these before, and there is a cost implication associated with it, where that money will come from is not through your substantive budget but out of your cash. So because it's a council decision, they've made that outside of the budgeting process and that would be what happens with it. Could I just add something else, because I know we're in discussion at the moment there, in terms of the recommendations you've got there to make sure everybody's very clear on what they're actually saying, because it's basically saying that we will send a notification out with the rates, provided we don't get a direction from the TPC earlier, and then point D, if we send a notice out with the rates there, it just will not apply. That's how it's written.
Yep,
so everybody's clear with that as well.
If we send a notice out with the rates...
So what's saying, if C happens, we send a notice out with the rates, D doesn't happen.
D will not happen.
I think everybody understands that.
Okay.
Did the penny just drop with you?
No, not at all. I was just making sure, since we're in discussion there, because I'd hate people to actually vote on something and realise they...
He's an engineer. He's being very thorough.
And I do appreciate that. I'll just make the point that I do appreciate that, because the penny hasn't really yet fully dropped with me that... If we say yes to D, we're actually putting ourselves liable to make a $37,000, or maybe a bit less, we're taking it out of the ratepayers and just giving it, which is amazing to me, for something that we're proactively going to tap people on the shoulder who haven't asked to be tapped on the shoulder, when I've never yet met somebody that hasn't heard of the LCZ. I've never met anyone
that hasn't heard about the LCZ. I think what's come out of this discussion very clearly is it's not just about the LCZ. It's about... the overlays, and even when you're going from general residential to general residential. So I think we have a responsibility to tell everybody, and for the sake of saving $6,000, which in the context of, say, a $45 million budget isn't that great, I think that the community deserves us to go the full...
The full hit here.
And that's just the reality of, if the timing doesn't align, it may be that the timing does align and we don't pay that money. But
yeah. that's the gamble. Yeah.
It is, very much. Not that we like to gamble. Next I had Councillor Antoli, and then I would be very keen to hear from Councillor Midgley or others.
I'm happy to hand.
Because I'm keen to hear whether we can move out of discussion, because we're trying to work out whether this amendment is going to be accepted or not. But Councillor Street's put his light on.
To simply say that I support the amendment wholeheartedly, like Councillor Antoli, I recognise that there were significant issues with sending it to just those who've had a change of zoning, in inverted commas, and I put that in inverted commas because, of course, everybody is having a change of zoning. That's why we're going through this process. So let's call it a substantive change of zoning. I understand that would put a huge burden on staff to figure out, well, A, what a substantive change in zoning actually is, and then B, who's incurring one. So I'm really happy with where we've landed on that, if we can support it. If there's nobody else that wants to speak, then I'm happy to move that we move out of discussion. Do you want to go, Amanda? Yep.
Councillor Midgley. And can I just make the point that I did earlier? I think we need to change those words just so that it says, will be sent to all owners, full stop. Yeah,
that change needs to happen.
Yeah, could we remove those last few words, full stop? Thank you. Councillor Midgley.
That's a lot clearer for me. I guess I really would like to hear from staff in regards to just the complexities and the burden, I guess, in doing that, or is it a lot more straightforward than perhaps another amendment that was proposed?
Ms. Tullamore.
Through you, Mayor, it's my opinion that by looking at D instead of the other alternate motion, which this may be confusing to the public because obviously they haven't seen it, I think that this, to send a letter that says keep your eyes open, there is something coming, this is where we will do it, we will have public information sessions, this is what it will broadly mean to you, is a much better and simpler, straightforward and less risky approach than telling everyone you are going from zone X to zone Y and you're going to have these overlays, you had these overlays and you're going to get those overlays. So D is a better option than having ones that tell you specifically what you're going from and to. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. And just on that, so... And the reason why we're adding it is because we're worried that, say, in the June-July rate notice, it could be 3-6 months, so people might forget that therefore it's happening. So we're adding an additional letter to go above and beyond.
That's what we're saying is if we can't go out with the rates notice, then we direct mail.
All right. Okay. Because I thought, for me, C was just that we were going to include exactly what was in D in the rates notice. Yes. We were just going to state that things are coming. Watch this, as it says there.
In the rates notice, yes.
In the rates notice.
Yes.
So, therefore, we're pretty much just then adding an additional letter.
If required.
If required.
If we don't have to use... If the timing doesn't align.
Okay. If it doesn't go in the rates notice.
Yes. Okay, so Councillor Midgley, can you give me an indication, because I'd like to come out of discussion. I also need to say to you that if we put up a motion and it's lost, I would need somebody before we take that vote to foreshadow an alternative motion, because otherwise the report is dead and we've got nothing, so we wouldn't be making a decision. So I'll just remind you of that. But are you happy as the mover with the amendment as printed on the screen now? You are. Councillor Cordova is the seconder. Are you happy?
So I'm not happy, but that just means we'll go and discuss. We'll now go to vote on the amendment and I might lose. Is that right?
So, Okay, I'll ask the Acting General Manager for some assistance here.
So if you move out of discussion and you move into an agreed amended motion, that will now become the motion that you debate. What the Mayor was actually pointing out was that if there is no foreshadowed motion, alternative motion, and that one is lost for whatever reason, then that will be move on to the next item, basically. So there will be no resolution.
And so my question is just, if I don't like D, it's not like everything falls apart. All it means is that we still have to vote on whether or not we're going to include D, even if I say that no, I'm. If I say I don't accept it, then it doesn't automatically become part of the motion, but we then discuss it and vote on it.
No.
So I don't want my name to D, but that's okay because somebody else can move it and second it and go from there. But I don't want to support D.
Okay, so it's not acceptable to the seconder of the motion. Therefore, help me out here, please, one of you. What do we do now? Because we're going to, in a minute, when we move out of discussion.
Someone has to move it as an amendment, or someone has to second it with the inclusion of D.
Okay. Councillor Antoli, do you want to move it?
Absolutely.
Okay, and seconded by Councillor Street.
Thank you.
Okay, we can't do that yet because we're in discussion, so we're going to come out. So we've now moved out of discussion. We're back on the substantive motion, and I believe there is an amendment to the substantive motion that has been moved by Councillor Antoli, seconded by Councillor Street, and the amended motion is as printed on the screen, so it includes a further paragraph D, as we've just discussed. So now we're speaking to that amended motion. Are there any speakers on the amended motion? Councillor Antoli.
I fully support the amended motion. I encourage everyone present to support the amended motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Cordova.
So as I thank you, Mayor, and very briefly, the reason I didn't support it is I'm fully in favour of consulting with people. I think we also have a responsibility to handle the resources of the council in a reasonable way, and I don't feel that this is a reasonable imposition. Not so much on the cash side of things, because I do know that the council won't go bankrupt if we spend $37,000, but I don't think that it's a useful impost on staff's time. Because what we're essentially doing is tapping ratepayers on the shoulder who haven't asked to be tapped on the shoulder when they have all of the information that's available to them from the information sessions, from the newspapers and from the internet and from the... As I said, I've talked to a lot of people, and all of the people who are talking to me about planning changes already are aware of the changes. So what they're doing is they're advocating on behalf of others who apparently don't yet know about the changes. But I haven't even come across anybody that's in that predicament. Everybody I've talked to is really aware of the changes, or if they have questions or concerns, as I do, I encourage them to contact the council, which they're already doing. So I just feel like to gamble on this and say, well, if we don't get the information from the TPC in time, we're happy to spend $37,000. I don't find that particularly responsible, and that's why I'm voting against it. But I love the idea of consultation. I think this is a question of good governance. Are we doing good governance so far? There's always improvements that we can make, and I'm greatly sympathetic to people who are concerned or have fear about what's happening, but we're trying to run a responsible organisation, and I don't feel like this is a step in the right direction. So that's why.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Fox.
I'm just wondering, from a procedural point of view, whether we should take each separate part of this motion separately, A, B, C, and lastly, D, so that we still have a motion in front of us if D is lost.
Well, it's a little late now because we're actually on the amended motion in its entirety now. Yeah, we're adding D, so we're on the end. Yeah, then we go back, because we've got an amended motion in front of us. So if this fails, we go back to the one that doesn't include D.
I misunderstood.
That's okay.
If we lost D, we'd lose the lot.
So. No, we corrected that by not... Well, it corrected itself because Councillor Cordova is the seconder and didn't accept it. So it is a standalone amended motion. I just
think that people who are watching this must think that this is bureaucracy at its best. I apologise. It is democracy, but it's also the meeting procedures regulations which can get us very tied up in things, unfortunately, and I know it must look rather strange from a bystander's point of view. Are there any further contributions on the amended motion? If not, I'm going to put the amended motion. It's as printed on the screen. Councillor Antoli, did you want to sum up?
No, thank you.
Thank you very much. So it's moved by Councillor Antoli, seconded by Councillor Street. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? A show of hands is required. Those in favour is Councillors Antoli, Fox, Dean, Bain, Midgley, Richardson, Street, Gladewright and Reet. Those against? Councillor Cordova. The motion is carried. Thank you very much to everyone for their contributions on that. I think we probably worked through it surprisingly quicker than I anticipated otherwise this evening. Councillor Street, you look confused.
I am, Mayor, because what we've just done there is vote on the amendment. Now we need to vote on the substantive motion.
Oh, beg your pardon.
And I'm happy to move that motion be put immediately.
Thank you. Well, that's a procedural motion. Okay, so I've got a mover in Councillor Street, a seconder in Councillor Richardson. All those in favour of the of what is now the you can, if you wish to. That is correct. Okay, sorry, I skipped over that. I thought that was you were doing it in jest. So you are actually giving me a procedural motion that the motion be put now and no further debate occur. Okay, so I'll have a show of hands, please, on the procedural motion that the matter now be put. All those in favour? Against?
No.
Show of hands is required. All those in favour? Councillors Antoli, Cordova, Dean, Bain, Midgley, Richardson, Street and Reet. All those against is Councillors Fox and Gladewright. The procedural motion that the matter now be put is passed. So the motion is moved by Councillor Street, seconded by Councillor Richardson. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
The show of hands is required. All those in favour of the motion is Councillors Antoli, Dean, Bain, Richardson, Street and Reet. And those against is Councillors Fox, Cordova, Midgley and Gladewright. The motion is carried.
Hooray.
So, as I said earlier, thank you very much for your contributions in that. I still think we did it probably faster than we would have otherwise, so I appreciate everyone's contributions to that. We now turn to page 13. Minister's proposal to make amendments to the Southern Tasmanian Regional Land Use Strategy with a recommendation on page 19. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved, Councillor Antoli. Seconded, Councillor Midgley. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to make this brief for the sake of all here and those watching. It's recognised that that our population is growing and available land has stayed static. This recommendation by the government is to address that, especially around areas of land that are adjacent to the urban growth boundary. It seems a very sensible motion, and I'm happy to support it unless there are other amendments that want to discuss.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry, I beg your pardon. We're just working out a procedural thing here.
Yeah.
You want me to stop?
No. I'm pretty sure with that ear, my parent ear, I heard everything you said.
Point of order.
Yes, Councillor Fox.
I have a
You do? We're getting to that.
Which is not the motion.
Right? No, that is correct. We are getting to that. So, okay, thank you. I'm just digesting what people are saying on both ears. Okay, all right. Okay, I had circulated earlier, I'll just foreshadow that I had circulated earlier an alternative motion, which is what you had on your tables, because I emailed it out very late. Perhaps because I'm still in the chair and haven't handed over to the Deputy Mayor, that I don't know whether the Deputy Mayor may like to move that motion on my behalf.
So moved.
You would, thank you. Sorry. Okay, I beg your pardon. Okay, can I give an explanation then about that?
You can.
Okay, so just for sake of clarity, I had circulated a foreshadowed amendment to this to satisfy some of the concerns that were raised in an email that we received in the last couple of days, and also a long-standing issue that has been occurring with Margate not being included in the urban growth boundary. So this the foreshadowed motion that I have circulated around would deal with those issues, and so I'm suggesting that it go that, okay, because we're at the point now, we have to lose the substantive motion. Okay, great.
So moved?
Would you, yeah, where is it? Just lost it. It's on the screen, there it is. Here it is. Would you like to move?
I move to amend.
Okay. And is it acceptable to you, Councillor Antoli, as the mover of the motion, and I think who's the seconder, Councillor Bain?
The answer is yes, and that's why I wanted to move, so I could say yes to you.
Thank you. Thank you. I think it's very warm in here, and I'm starting to think it's seriously affecting my ability to chair this meeting. Thank you. Okay, so we have on the screen an amendment, which is acceptable to the mover and seconder, so it's actually not moved by Councillor Gladright. It becomes part of the substantial motion.
And I was the seconder, wasn't I? Was I?
Well, it doesn't really matter because it's been. Oh, you were the seconder for the substantive motion. Sorry. Okay. All right. So what we have on the screen is not an amendment. Yes, correct. So that becomes part of the substantive motion, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So we're on the substantive motion, which has some changes based on that agreement from the mover and seconder. Would anybody like to speak on the new substantive motion? Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. And look, and it's a good thing that we've had that discussion. Because I think the amendment is really important. And I think the amendment's really important, mainly for the reason that we're asking the Minister to consider including Margate and Snug, or provide support for land release at Margate and Snug as part of the request to amend the Strelas. I am of the view that's an area that's been outstanding for some time under the Strelas. It's one of our major areas where some growth can occur in residential rezoning, and so I'm really happy to support that amendment. As a general rule, my view on these amendments has always been that it's not for us to dictate where other municipalities may have changes to growth boundaries, and so on that basis I'm prepared to support the remainder of the motion as well. But yeah, like I said, very happy that we went through that process to amend the motion, because I think that the addition of Margate and Snug in consideration is really important.
Thank you, Councillor Street. Councillor Fox.
I'd be interested in the history of this situation. I know at the time there was quite a push from Mr Meredith to include his land, and it was rejected, and I'm just wondering why it was rejected at the time. And I wondered whether the staff have had time to do any research into this situation. Because we're being very specific, really, and I think it's important that we understand the logic behind what we're doing.
Certainly I'm aware that through the work that our planning department have been doing, that we have been trying to approach the TPC to recognise that Margate and Snug should be considered as part of the urban growth boundary, and that those requests so far have been falling on deaf ears. So, but I'm sure Mr. Stander might want to add some comments.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I think maybe to just give a bit of background. So the land at Margate and Snug were identified in the Kimberley Land Use Strategy in 2019 as a potential future urban area. And then subsequent to that, we've also in our LPS identified that we would like that area to be developed, and therefore we in our request to the TPC, we've identified that, and essentially what we've asked through that request was to amend the urban growth boundary. What we've heard back from the Commission at this point in time, because they haven't really made any decisions on it, is informally that they can't support it due to the lack of demand and supply data based on a regional settlement pattern. However, as part of some of the other strategic work we've been involved in, we've been trying to actually promote that growth as per our strategy. So, for instance, the 30-year Greater Hobart Plan, even though it does not cover the areas of Margate and Snug, it makes reference that Margate and Snug is identified for potential future growth. So I guess the challenge that we have at the moment is, from a strategic point of view, we most probably want to support that. We just don't have the data for it. So this amendment, as proposed by the Minister, with the number of tweaks that is suggested, I think it most probably will provide opportunity for that land to proceed. Essentially, what the Minister is asking is for rezoning to occur in certain locations where councils have identified future growth to happen without going through the formal process. So I think for Margate and Snug, it is most probably good news to deal with those situations. I guess the second or the first part really of the Minister's proposal is also dealing with anomalies. So what the recommendation is saying, well, if all else fails, you know, maybe have a look at the anomalies to deal with Margate and Snug. But I think the recommendation is quite strong in terms of council's wishes to see development happening in that area.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Question. I'm looking at page 14 where the report says the 30-year plan indicates that the total available land supply within the current Greater Hobart urban growth boundary could potentially cater for over 34,000 additional dwellings. My question is just, speaking broadly, where are those potential 34,000 located? Are they evenly distributed around Greater Hobart? Are there clusters in Clarence, or are there clusters in Kingborough? Can you paint us a picture of where those 34,000 are?
Mr. Stander, you going to paint a picture for us?
I'll try, but it's not going to be a good one. No. Thank you, Mayor. Through you there, it's a difficult question to answer. I don't know the exact answer, but what I can tell you is that as part of the Greater Hobart Plan, what we've done is an analysis of land that's either vacant or underdeveloped. And so we had certain criteria to have a look at and to come to a conclusion that we actually have sufficient land within that urban growth boundary. Like I've said before, Margate and Snug actually doesn't form part of that plan, so we need to deal with a separate set of data, and that work is currently underway, and I'm hoping the consultants that we've appointed to do that work will provide us at least with some of the raw data by the middle of this year. So even if this does not get up, the Minister does not change the regional land use strategy, we would be able to use some of that data to I guess to try and bring a report to council and to make up an argument in terms of, you know, demand and supply in that situation. So to go back to your question, there's not a map that I can paint where that happens. For Kimberley, really, it is Margate and Snug. If we look at land that we've currently available. There's only a few lots left in Spring Farm and Whitewater Park Estate, and then we're moving on to Huntingfield. And after Huntingfield, we don't have any greenfield development, so we'll be relying on a lot of infill development. So that is why it's important to support that growth in Margaret and Snark. All that we're waiting on is just the data to inform that decision.
Any further discussion? Councillor Entirely, did you want to sum up?
No, thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. I will put the motion as moved by Councillor Entirely, seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. We turn now to page 45, addressing councillor misconduct and merit-based recruitment in councillors, with a recommendation on page 48. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Hello. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder. Okay. Councillor Gladewright, would you like to take over the chair and then I'll be happy to move it?
Sure.
Okay, I'm handing over the chair to the Deputy Mayor. I'm happy to move this, but you'll have to ask for a seconder.
Do I have a mover? Do I have a seconder? Councillor Street.
Okay, thank you very much. I think this is quite a significant paper, and one that as Council we should definitely be putting a response into the Minister for Local Government. It does indeed deal with two matters. The first one addressing councillor misconduct. I wouldn't like to think that this is aimed at us as a council, but I think we're all very well aware that there have been instances, unfortunately, of councils in other states, in other parts of Tasmania, where some of the behaviour does not meet community expectations, and that there is, I think we've, particularly for those who have been in local government for a long period of time, I think it's well recognised that the current way in which matters are dealt with under the Code of Conduct framework does not suit a contemporary environment. It does not result in good outcomes for all those involved, and I think there is very little mechanism at the moment for where there are serious breaches of the Code of Conduct for those matters to be resolved. For example, we're all aware of a case in recent history elsewhere in the state where a councillor had been charged and found guilty of a very serious nature, and that did call into question their suitability for public office. So this paper in relation to the Code of Conduct suggests that there be two options. Firstly, that there be an amendment to the Board of Inquiry provisions in the Act to enable a board to be established to investigate misconduct of individual councillors, but also that the Director of Local Government be empowered to seek dismissal or extended suspension under the Model Code of Conduct by applying to the Code of Conduct panel or possibly to the Tasmanian Civil and Administrative Tribunal, TASCAT. I believe that both those options should be firmly considered and would be a suitable improvement to the situation that we have at the moment. In relation to the second matter of merit-based recruitment, that is also seeking, I think, to provide some public confidence that the way in which employees are engaged by local governments around the state are very firmly entrenched with merit-based principles. It's my understanding that there was, as outlined in the paper, a commission of the Office of Integrity Commissioner did an inquiry into a number of matters and found that some councils were not advertising positions and they weren't filling them based on the merit principle. I think that should concern us all very, very greatly. I believe that the recommendations in the report here are very sound, and that hopefully it can, what it's suggesting is that there be a ministerial order that under the Local Government Act provides standards for recruitment, particularly for that of the General Manager and also performance assessment. So I believe we should be, as in line with the recommendation, that we should indicate our support to the government via a submission.
Thank you for that contribution. Are there any other comments or questions? No, I'll put the motion as printed on the screen. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against, the motion is carried.
Thank you very much. I'll resume the chair. We come now to item on page 76, Mount Royal Reserve, with a recommendation on page 77. And I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Got a mover in Councillor Gladewright and a seconder in Councillor Antoli. Councillor Gladewright.
Thank you. The purpose of this report is to consider an allocation of funds towards the upgrade of the Mount Royal Park. I note that Council's Urban Design Officer has prepared costings for the design elements, and the recommended funding amount is $179,000. There was lots of community engagement that was undertaken in relation to this, and the park and the community have indicated a high level of demand. And I note that the balance of the funds will be placed into the public open space account, which can be used on another park, which is what came up for discussion previously.
Thank you, Councillor Gladewright. Any further discussion? Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll definitely be supporting this one. I think, as Councillor Gladewright said, it certainly ticks a lot of the boxes now. And I think it aligns with the previous council's commitment to allocate funds from the sale of 41 Herne Road to a nearby playground, dating back to the 2020 playground audit done by the council's urban designer. This playground did rate quite high in the list of unacceptable playgrounds, and the items that the audit identified are the ones that are being rectified through this budget allocation. This playground has been flagged in the Capital Works budget in the out years for at least 12 months, if not longer, so I think it's clearly been identified as a priority by staff. High visitation rates and clear demonstration from the community desire to see an upgrade, it's a big one for me, because I think if we're going to invest in an upgrade, it's always reassuring to know that the work being done is supported and will be well utilised. And finally, from a funding perspective, I think it's great to see that we'll be able to not only do this upgrade but still have $171,000 from the sale of the land to put into back into public open space and use elsewhere. So I think it definitely ticks all the boxes, and I encourage everyone else to support it. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Bain. Councillor Dean.
Yeah, I'd just like to know what triggered us going to Mount Royal after we decided that there was limited appetite at Donohoe Gardens.
Sorry, I didn't hear the first part of your question.
Sorry, what triggered us? We decided that Donohoe Gardens didn't have the kind of appetite, so what made us then go, OK, let's go to Donohoe Gardens?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, a couple of things. Firstly, that there had been significant community engagement already done in relation to Mount Royal Reserve. So in that regard, there'd been the demonstrated need. We had a really active community that had been involved in wanting to see the park and the playground upgraded. They had been in communication with council staff for some 2 or 3 years, so we were aware of that particular desire from the community. But secondly, and Councillor Bain mentioned it, the audit that we did a couple of years ago highlighted that Mount Royal Park scored really poorly. It scored 21 out of 50 in terms of the availability of the elements that you'd expect to see in a contemporary reserve within an urban area. So it ranked highly in terms of a need for an upgrade, and then that combined with the community level of support and work that had already been done made it a no-brainer to be the next one that we looked at when Donohoe clearly didn't have a great deal of appetite from the community.
Yeah, just a second question then from me. You mentioned there was mention of the playground audit and the strategy that has been done, and they include guiding principles about how we should be deciding about which playground should be upgraded. So moving forward, and obviously based on those two documents, what playgrounds are in the pipeline for being upgraded out of the public open space account?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, one of the things that the audit highlighted was that we've got a lot of playgrounds that don't meet contemporary expectations, and I'm really conscious that we've got half a dozen underway at the moment that, in terms of upgrades, that we haven't, for a number of reasons, been able to deliver as quickly as what I'm sure councillors and the community would like. So our priority is very much on trying to get those completed. But in terms of, I don't want to name up any individual playgrounds that would be next cab off the rank, but if you go to the audit, there's evidence there as to what we should be looking at next. I know that the Marino Reserve Heights playground has been mentioned, and that's certainly supported by the audit. And there's also been some community appetite to see us upgrade that one. But equally, there are a number of others throughout the municipal area that the local communities would like to see upgraded. So I would envisage at some stage when we get closer to completing our current list, bring a report to council with us some discussions around the priorities for the individual playgrounds we do next.
Councillor Dean.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to go to vote against this because there's obviously, as been mentioned, there's the support for it in the community. I do strongly reject the idea that we sell land and just pick the nearest playground and as haven't had a more holistic discussion around whether other ones should be prioritised. I know that was a previous motion and it was tied to land sales, so I don't necessarily agree with that criteria as much. There was mention there of a potential report. I was hoping to move an amendment to this, not that I'm voting against it, but move an amendment which would give us councillors, I suppose, a bit more of an oversight over what upgrades do come to fruition and have a bit of an opportunity to feedback into that, but also acknowledges that the previous discussion that we had on this, when it was deferred, that there was an appetite for an upgrade of Maranoa Reserve. Now, it's interesting because Maranoa Reserve ranks as acceptable and it's ranked, I think, 40th or something out of our 50. So it needs to obviously balance the playground audit. It needs to balance what we feel as councillors, as representative of the community, need. And it also needs to balance the fact that there are segments of the community that don't always have a nifty little community association that can go into bat for them and get their local playground upgraded and make the most amount of noise. So I would like to add an amendment to this, that council prepare a report that gives an overview on which playgrounds are identified for upgrade and specifically investigate the feasibility of an upgrade to Maranoa Reserve. So can I send that through to Sam.
Okay, let's just see if there is...
Say it again, and the reason for this, like I've said, is just before we go ahead to make any decisions, we're in the state right now...
We've just got to see first whether it's acceptable to move or a seconder, and so that we know how to deal with it. So could you just give us that set of words again, please?
Council prepare a report that gives an overview on which playgrounds are...
He's not quite at Mrs. Morton's speed of writing.
No. Sorry.
He's doing his best.
Oh, sorry.
Mrs. Morton.
I was about to email it. I was trying to get
That's all right. Just say that. Yep. That gives an overview...
on which playgrounds are identified...
Yep.
...for upgrade and specifically... investigates the feasibility of an upgrade at Maranoa Reserve.
Mm.
Now, without on the board, am I allowed to speak?
Well, do you want a report, or should we just have a workshop on playgrounds? Would it be more appropriate to have a workshop?
Yeah, I'm more than happy to have a workshop.
Well, would you like to amend that to say that council holds a workshop on playgrounds? Etc. etc. Oh. Yep. How about that? That's probably clean. That's a better environment to do it in.
Can
So, okay, so that's the... Are you happy with that amendment?
Do I get to speak to it?
No, I've still got to work out if it's been part of the substantive motion or not. So is it acceptable to you, Councillor Gladright, and Councillor Antoli as the mover and seconder? Yes, so that becomes the substantive motion, so now you can speak to it.
Yeah, I think I've probably just ended up repeating myself here because everyone probably tuned out as I started talking. But just to repeat, there's a number of competing interests when we make these decisions, and I'm obviously new. There are three others that are new to this and may not be privy to previous agreed-to strategies. And it is worth pointing out that we do have a very thorough playground strategy and a very thorough playground audit, and we need, as councillors, I believe, to hold a balanced perspective when deciding which playgrounds are upgraded moving forward, because we would not just do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on that list. That would not be the most appropriate way to go about things. So that's just the reason for it before we go ahead and decide. And as the Manager, Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services already highlighted, that will probably be a while away. So I believe a workshop is a great suggestion from the Mayor, as hopefully we'll have time to squeeze that in before we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Councillor Fox and then Councillor Midgley.
I guess I'm very concerned that the $179,000 that we've put towards this project is the improvements that are being suggested include plantings for shade and amenity, along with the construction of pathways to improve accessibility and connectivity to other local pedestrian linkages in the area. I wouldn't have thought that they would be the priorities for a playground with this amount of money available, just to do planting and pathways. And how much would they cost? Would they cost $179,000, or is that how was that amount decided on? How was it come to?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, I'll answer the first part of the question first, and that is that these are the priorities that have come through the Friends of Mount Royal Reserve. That's what they want to see. They want to see improved access pathways, and they want to see shade and increased plantings. And that's what's been costed up by our urban designer. It's quite a big park. To put in hard stand pathways is not cheap, and there are a number of pedestrian linkages that come through this particular reserve that the community are keen to see linked up by means of hard stand pathways, and that's what's been costed.
So I presume that there's no play equipment, no activities being organised.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, the park has existing play equipment, and that's not seen. More equipment is not what the community are asking for.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Dean, for putting that amendment there. I do support that in regards to community members have called and emailed me in regards to, I guess, the equity around this and the fact of why Mount Royal Reserve, when I guess there's other ones that are maybe a bit higher or around that sort of mark as well, and how we make, I guess, that equitable decision around deciding that the funds go towards Mount Royal Reserve. So that's definitely been raised in the community, and also members of the community have also raised that perhaps this should be put forward actually as a budget, named in the budget that's going forward for draft budget consultations. People can also have an input, because there's been an email actually just sent today as well to a councillor and I think it was Councillor Bain and I, about like Suncoast Reserve, and the fact that that was sort of ranked even 6th and Mount Royal was ranked sort of 13th. So I guess when the community kind of looks at that ranking, they kind of question why that one versus that one. But again, there's a motion that we put that the funds to be used in the local area. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Smee, around that was what I was advised. So I guess as well that, yeah, the $179,000 figure. So in regards to the hard stand pathway, does that mean concrete pathway? Is that what we're looking at there?
Mr. Smee.
through you, Mayor, would be whether it's concrete or aggregate. I'm not sure. I suspect it would be an aggregate.
Thank you. So I guess if we're wanting sort of wheelchair type accessibility, is that what we talk about when we want accessibility?
Yes.
Correct.
Yep. And so noting that that consultation that occurred for Mount Rural Park was on the 31st of May 2021, so around that time, I guess we don't feel like the demographics in that area have changed much from a couple of years ago.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, no, and you would note that we've had recent correspondence from the Friends of Mount Royal and they've reiterated that the consultation undertaken is still very much valid today.
Okay, thank you. And yes, I do commend the Friends of Mount Royal around the Friends of Mount Royal Park. It's a beautiful place. And again, I know many people who sort of access that area who didn't even know that the park existed. I was involved many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, I think it was, for people to look at sort of tree planting and things like that. And there was a bit of dispute around the neighbours regarding the heights of trees and things like that. So I hope that everybody is taken into account. Some people have said, well, it is really close to the Kingston Park, so why are we spending money, I guess, so close to Kingston as well? They're just some matters, I guess, that have come to me as a councillor. And I do hear those, and I do hear the equity in our decision around that. So it's great that we can have a workshop to revisit the playground strategy, to actually look at the whole picture of Kingborough, where the next lines of decisions are going to be made. There is going to be some leftover funds from the sale of Donoghue Gardens, and I guess rather than making a fly in the night of where that money should go, we can have a look at a bigger picture of things in a workshop. So. Thanks.
Thank you. Any further discussions? Councillor Dean.
Just a question. The playground strategy, which I referred to previously, names up some criteria specifically around the design, and it goes to, I suppose, answer to help Councillor Fox to a certain degree that shade trees and universal accessibility are numbered up and named up specifically as principles that we should encourage when designing playgrounds, and I fully support them in this case. My question, I suppose, is are we as a council supportive of, it sounds like on those two fronts, this really does align with our playground strategy and the guiding principles. So my question is, one, are we supportive in this case that it does, in terms of the community feedback, what they've asked for? Sounds like it probably does. It's an answer to my own question there too. But the second question is, I just wanted to get...
Excellent, you agree with yourself.
I just wanted to get this in there because my second question was hypothetical. If a playground upgrade or the community comes out with advice that contradicts or doesn't align necessarily with guiding principles, or we aren't happy with what the community has put forward, what would be the response from council staff?
Mr. Smee.
Interesting hypothetical question. I think in that situation it would be something that we would want to work through with the community to understand, you know, why it is that they want something that... basically, our playground strategy is based on best practice throughout the world. You know, the principles are best practice principles for the development of play spaces and public open space fairly universally. So I find it hard to come up with a scenario in which the community is saying, no, we don't agree with something that doesn't meet those principles. So if it did occur, I'd want to be working through it with them, and ultimately I expect that it's a matter that we would bring to the council table for resolution if we couldn't get resolution through negotiation with the community.
Look, my only response there is...
Councillor Dean.
Thank you. My only response there is that I am aware that we are building playgrounds that don't align with our own guiding principles, which concerns me somewhat. And some of those guiding principles in there that we've discussed about encouraging shade trees or access to water aren't being currently put in. So I'm really glad that the workshop has been agreed to by the councillors, because I would like to take a more thorough look at this and ensure that... We are fulfilling our own strategy as much as we possibly can. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dean. Are there any further discussions? Councillor Gladewright, did you want to sum up?
No, just to note that originally it was 250 proposed, and so this is a reduced amount, so I'm pleased to see the excess being put into the public open space account, and we can come up with a good plan for that for other playgrounds.
Thank you. I'll put the motion now as printed on the screen. It's the amended motion that has the addition of B, Council holds a workshop on priorities for future playground upgrades. Moved by Councillor Gladewright, seconded by Councillor Antoli. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. We turn now to page 86, notices of motion. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no notices of motion that had been received. Still on page 86, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder that that in accordance with Regulation 15, the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, Council by absolute majority moved into closed session to consider the following items: confirmation of minutes, applications for leave of absence, and Kingston Main Street upgrade contract variation. Mover and a seconder, moved Councillor Antoli, seconder Councillor Fox. All those in favour? Against, motion is carried unanimously. That ends now the open session of Council. Thank you very much to everyone who has been following along at home. We appreciate your indulgence while we had that break earlier so that we could resolve a matter probably a little bit more quickly than otherwise. So thank you and good evening. In accordance with the Kingborough Council Meetings Audio Recordings Guidelines Policy, recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease, and open session is adjourned at 7:27 p.m.